This is That First Best Walk of Spring, a part of an archive broadcast, Nature of Things, from April 12, 1991.
The second Monday in April this year ranked with the best I can remember from those blessed days of my youth when no activity could take priority over that first walk through the spring woods and fields. Somehow or other, I could always find enough time for a meander through some appropriate portion of the varied habitat of that late 1930s farm in which I grew up. Its hedgerows, drainage courses, low-lying crop fields, orchards, and shrub-covered odd corners were ideal for wild things year-round or in migration. A direct path to school, a half mile away, led me past barns, a copse of choke cherry, an aged but still producing pear orchard to the left, the north, a very young peach orchard to the right, followed by a swath of crop fields and berry patches, and finally traversing apple orchards of age-old Greenings, Maiden Blush, Baldwin's, Kings, and Rome Beauties. The last few yards before my pathway entered the school property, which had been carved from our own back acres, took me across the main drainage channel that made farming of the lowlands possible. There were times in a wet spring when this last section could be impassable to anyone who lacked at least knee-length boots. This might require a quarter-mile detour to the south to a place where the farm lane crossed the ditch. But even those quarter-mile detours could provide enrichment of remarkable dimensions. To the north, a quarter-mile diversion could leave me past the pig yard through a copse where cuckoos and catbirds nested, or bring me to the north property line, which was also the back line of the houses along East Avenue in town. The edge between backyards and pear orchard always produced oriole, wren, chipping sparrow, and hummingbird. Near the edge of the school grounds was the wettest part of the property, always good for a yellowthroat during the nesting season. There were daily benefits in having junior and senior high school located in what was once the northeast corner of our farm. During the nesting season, I didn't often follow the conventional route to school along the sidewalks of South Main Street and the Avenue. This shortcut to school with diversions to the left and right was my usual pathway throughout the spring and fall, from seventh grade through my senior year in high school. My buddies, with whom I usually walked to school at other times, seemed to understand this strange passion. They never made fun of it, and a couple of them even enjoyed going with me on occasion. It might sound like I was an indifferent student, often tardy and usually distracted. Not so. I took my schooling seriously and actually excelled. My family, mother, father, older brothers and sisters, expected that of me. There was a friendly pressure for which I was later grateful. I paid attention to my English, Latin, and math, as well as my sciences. Today, even with the pressures of other responsibilities, I treasure the early spring walks in search of the first flowers of spring or the migrating birds. Just this morning, I got out soon after sunup in search of spring. What I found along the trails of Baltimore Woods was white, pink, and blue hepatica, the hallmark of spring at Baltimore Woods. Dainty spring beauties, their white petals liberally marked with pink tracery. Yellow coltsfoot at the edge of the Faust Garden. It was blooming beside a lone daphne, which after 5 years of abuse by browsing deer, wore a protective sheath of chicken wire through this winter. It's now covered with lilac blooms. Cohosh and leek are also prominent, and here and there are trilliums, some already budded. We'll see an eruption of flowers soon if the mild weather continues. It's a perfect time for those of you who have damp, semi-brushy fields nearby to go out just before nightfall to observe the courtship flight of the woodcock. Get there just before the sun goes down, and if you have any of the strange little birds present, you'll soon hear their miniature Bronx cheers, followed by the whistling of wings as the bird circles upward in flight. If you're fortunate enough to find them, try to follow their zigzag descent to the ground. Their performance on the ground is every bit as interesting as their aerial maneuvering. On this morning, the most interesting birds I observed were song sparrow getting ready to nest and golden-crowned kinglets busily plying the hemlocks beside the overlook trail. These tiny birds, smaller than a house wren, are olive drab above and white below, with striking yellow or orange crowns margined with black and white streaks. They never seem to take the time to rest. They work the hemlock boughs in search of insects or insects' eggs, pausing only to utter their feeble grace notes. They paid little notice of me, so I watched them for some time before taking off again down the trail to my car. I had work to do, too. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.